Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the living God. I wonder, at welcome you to this session today. May the Lord bless you wherever we're finding you, through many of you through the internet, but somewhere in the Lord's body we are gathering together today. And we just welcome you to be with us in this session of our gathering here. As Janie was singing, one of these courses came to my mind that we sing often. Blessed be the name of the living God. Now, and it's something that I was thinking about yesterday, last night up here, and I wanted to deal with it today. Actually, the living God. But you see, so many times we think, well, yeah, you know, God's alive, but he's somewhere. He's somewhere. But the reality of our salvation, the reality of our being born from above, born again, our reality of our being baptized into Christ by the Spirit of God, I can't think of anything else to define it, but it is our salvation I'm talking about. And our God is not just a living God in that respect. He's living in you, and he's living in me. Now, that's what I want us to talk about, hon. So many believers. And I think that maybe, you know, throughout the Lord's body, but there are so many believers whose idea of the church is based upon a building somewhere, a group of people somewhere, some doctrinal teachings. It's a system. It's a system. And there are certain times of the week that they are very much put upon to be there in that place. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're on Wednesday night Bible classes, are most certainly on Sunday morning sessions. And we think of the church as being something like that. Sometimes I wonder if we have folks that are here or that are in one way or another affiliated with being here, if that's kind of what they might think from time to time. That it's just either our being in a place or not being in a place. And so maybe there's times when it's more important to be in one place than there is in another. And we kind of look like our salvation, Christianity, as being members of a certain club somewhere, and it's a religious club, and it's got a building that we can all meet in and do things in. You know what I'm talking about. In so many cases, the church is that. I mean, when you think church, you think of that. You think of that. And so you go when you can. I mean, you do your best to be there, just like you would if you were in a club somewhere, and you know, you're supposed to be there because I'm a member. And folks are like that. And and we come there to worship God. So we sing our songs and we do our praise and worship, and first one thing and another. There's anything wrong with any of it. It's just that so many times we look at it as just things to do and be done with it. How long is it going to take us? Well, it won't take us long. We'll get right on through it. Okay. So we'll do it that way. But what I wanted to say, what I want to tell us, honey, is that it's not so much what we do or don't do, or if we're here on time or not here on time, or here at all. That's not really what I'm talking about. I mean, I'm mentioning those things, but what I'm talking about is that throughout the church world, that's the idea of how to serve God. That's the idea of our being pleasing to God. I mean, how many times we're there, how many times we come. And it's all based upon those kind of things. And we figure out ways that we can, that if we're there, that is really good, but, you know, it's not going to fall apart if I don't show up. I know, I've been in this all of my life. I mean, a long time. So I know that can become what we think Christianity is and what we think our obligation is, or at least our service, whatever. And as we were singing this morning, and I thought of this, blessed be the name of the living God. When we first wrote that little song and began to share that with others and begin to sing it, the thing that became aware in my mind and heart then when we wrote that song was that it's not just that our God lives and therefore, you know, live somewhere. No. He is the living one. He is life itself. And our salvation is based upon, gathered up into, the reality that He not only lives, I'll say it again, He lives in you. And He lives in me. We are actually the body of the living God. It's not going someplace where you think He is. It's going wherever you go in the understanding He's in you. And you are in Him. Now look around and see where you are. And think about it. Think about it. Because it certainly doesn't mean that maybe you're in a bad, bad place or all of that. No. Just think about it in the reality and in the absolute truth of that if you're there, whatever the location is, if you're there, He is in you. You're not just there believing in a God, you're there and God is in you. He's in you through the very Spirit of His Son. Christ Himself, the eternal Son of the living God. In fact, the living God in you by His Spirit, even the Spirit of His Son. It's Christ in you, hon. Not just a belief of Christ, not just a teaching of Christ, not all the things that I've just talked about that many use to define what salvation is or what their church is. There's nothing wrong with gathering here. I've gone over all of that already. But my point is that salvation is a union, a spirit union with our God. It's not just a belief that there is a God. I believe in God. I believe in God. Yes, everybody, including Satan, believes in God. It's not believing there is one. It's knowing whether he dwells in you or not. And hence we use the term like born from above, born again. And that's what Jesus told Nicodemus, huh? Nicodemus was a wonderful person. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, much like Paul before Paul came to the Lord. And we won't go into all of his experiences. But Nicodemus wasn't just a person there in Israel. No, he was one of the Pharisees that were there. He was in the top echelon, we'll say. He was a teacher. And yet he had no comprehension when the Lord told him that he must be born again, that except he be born again, he could not see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus immediately began to wondering, well, how can this be? And then he asked the Lord, he said, how can it be? And here's this man who was the epitome of, let me see, how can I put that, the epitome? He was the teacher of teachers with regard to Judaism and with regarding those that were in Judaism under the law, those that were calling God their God. And yet he had no comprehension of what Jesus was talking about when he said born again. So he said, how is it that me, I'm old. How is it that I can go back into my mother's womb and be born again? This is what he really thought. And I want you to think about that because, hon, there's a lot of people today who hear something of the reality in one way or another that Christ is in you. And it confuses them. If you will say, Christ is in the sweet by and by. Christ is in heaven somewhere. Christ is there, but he loves you. And if you'll just believe in him, because he is our Savior. Now, he did. He died on the cross. He died there on the cross, so we won't have to die. But that's what he did, and he's already done that. And now he's waiting for us. And one day, and they go on and on and on. But the point is that there is no reality that Christ is anywhere near you, let alone in you. And I think about this a lot because I'm faced with it by folks. A good deal of the time. And I receive emails and letters, and I'm glad that I do, and I appreciate those who send them. But in some cases, the questions that come relate to what I'm talking about. Not a person doubting whether Christ is in us or not, but a person asking the question is how can we really understand that? How can we? But you see, not with a natural mind. There's no way we can. We'll be just exactly like Nicodemus. And Nicodemus wasn't a bad man or a bad person. He just had no spiritual understanding of being born again. And here's this man, Jesus, standing very close to him. I mean, standing with him. See if you can see that in your mind's eye. He's standing right there to him. And he is talking to Nicodemus about being born again. Not born of the flesh, but born of the Spirit. And he goes on and says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be upset that I say, you must be born again. You must be born again. And it is not in the flesh, but a spiritual union. And yet, the one saying that, standing right there, and Nicodemus could look at him and see him. And yet, it comes to me again. See, we think of Jesus still, honey. In the church world, we still think of Jesus like Nicodemus did. Jesus stands there and talks to him about a spiritual birth. But there's no place found, really, where Nicodemus ever came to such a birth. Maybe he did later on. Maybe he did on down there. Maybe so. But it's not right there. Nicodemus may have been one of the ones that saw Christ crucified. But did he ever see Christ in the resurrection? And was he part of that 120 that was there on the day of Pentecost, in whom Christ by His Spirit did come and indwell? A great birthing took place on that day of Pentecost, because it was the day when the Lord did exactly what He said He would do. I will come again, receive you unto myself. I will live in you, that where I am, there you may be also. He told all of that to the people. He also told, go to Jerusalem, get in a place, told them where that was, and stay there until you receive power from on high. He knew what was going to happen. And those very people that he had talked to and told them that he would prepare a place for them, and that as he went on and he kept telling them, the place that he prepared for them was himself. And that day, in another place he says, in John, you've read it, so these are not scriptures you don't know, but in another place he says, for in that day, what day? Well, the day that I come, and because I live, you shall live also. In that day, the day, talking to his disciples, in that day, you will know that everything that I have said concerning me and my Father, you will understand that that is true. You will know that I am in my Father. But then he brings those to whom he was speaking, which includes you and I today, brings them into this glorious picture. Because just think with me, and I mean, be honest, you wherever you're listening right now, just think with me, see, because our idea, if we've got God up in the heavens someplace, and then we're someplace else doing really something good, and okay. But see, I'm not making little of any of that. I'm trying to tell you that that is our real idea of union with God. But there's a greater truth to our union with God than our idea that He's in the heavens someplace and we're here trying to do the best we can to be a good Christian or to, you know, go to church. And I'm not telling you that we should not gather together here. I'm saying that it should not be simply that we call salvation. We should come to understand, blessed be the name of the living God, because He lives in me, He lives in you. Honey, that's what salvation is. Oh yes, it took a death, burial, resurrection. It took a finished work on the cross before there was a reality that you and I could be brought into by the living God, by the Spirit of God coming to dwell in us, as Jesus said He would. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will be in you. And in that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you. And darling, that is John 14:20. That little verse gathers into itself everything that you read it, that John quotes Jesus as saying. Well, let me just say it. Verse 20, John 14, sums up everything from verse 1 right on through the end of that chapter. I mean, this sums it up in itself. That's true. Read it and see. And every time I read that or see it, in something that we have written and published, but it refers to, in that day you shall know that I'm in my Father and you're in me and I'm in you. Every time I see that, I realize that what I have just read, what I am looking at, is in fact the absolute fullness of our salvation. What could add to it? What could add to it? Jesus says, you'll know I'm in my Father. Now see, He's not talking about some location there. He's talking about a divine union. And He's been telling His disciples about it for 3.5 years. Telling them that I am in my Father and my Father is in me. Or telling them what I'm saying is what I hear my Father say. He's over and over, He's trying to show them that we are one. That I'm not here for one purpose and God has another purpose. No. That in all things we are in union. In all things we are of one spirit and of one mind. That is the fellowship of the Father and the Son. And darling, you listen to me. True Christianity, true Christianity is found in that fellowship. The fellowship of the Father and the Son is the fellowship into which you and I are received, are brought by the very Spirit of Christ Himself. Do we agree, those of us who have some understanding, do we agree that it has pleased the Father that in the Son, that in Him all fullness should dwell? All fullness of what? All the fullness of God. All the fullness of our salvation. All the fullness of righteousness, all the fullness of redemption, all the fullness of wisdom and understanding and knowledge, all the fullness of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God. This is the one that I'm talking about. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the one who, yes, that living Word out from the beginning, who was made flesh. Yes, He took upon Himself flesh. Why? That He could go to the cross. That He could go to the cross. He took upon Himself the whole of the Adamic creation, and being found in fashion as a man, I mean, he had to leave glory in order to do that. Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation. And when he was born a virgin, born of a woman, born under and made under the law, yes, when He was given a body, it was a body in which He would die. He was born crucified. He was determined, he was declared to be accepted as the Lamb of God from the very foundation of the world. This isn't something that He became because John the Baptist said He's the Lamb of God. Always been the Lamb of God. He was finally made manifest to fulfill everything that God had determined and planned and purposed and chosen before the foundation of the world. Everything that is spoken of in Ephesians, the first 6 verses. All of that. All of that was fulfilled in Christ. What I'm talking about this morning is that the Christ in whom it was fulfilled, the one that was born of a virgin, the one that walked with His disciples and spoke to them, and many of the things that I'm sitting here talking to you about, you'll find them a whole bunch of it in the Gospel of John. But that one that showed Himself to Nicodemus, showed Himself to John the Baptist, and on, that one now, by His eternal Spirit, He now, as the power of His resurrection, that one who showed Himself for 40 days to His disciples after He came forth out from among the dead in the resurrection, so that he could declare himself to those who would now hear him as being the resurrection and the life. And they could say, well, Lord, you mean that you're the only one then that's ever got a chance of being resurrected? No, that isn't what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is, I am the resurrection. I am your opportunity to be raised up out from among the dead, because I am the resurrection from among the dead. That's who I am. If I live in you, then you are living in the resurrection. If I am living in you, I am there as the one in whom, by whom, through whom you are raised up out from being dead in sin. Because you have been baptized into me, and I am he who is dead unto sin, but alive unto God, and I live in you. And that's how Paul, hon, come to the concept of saying, I am crucified with Christ. When he died, I died with him. When he died, he gathered all mankind into himself. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me living again. The resurrection life is not me living again. The resurrection life is Christ himself, who is the resurrection life, living in me. I mean, my word, resurrection is Christ living in me. And that came to grip Paul's mind, his heart, his very soul. And he preached and taught nothing else. You can read it. It's easily read. What did he say on later in another one of his epistles? He said, he said, here is the thing that I want. Here is the cry of my heart. Here is the expectation of my soul. And here is the very love of my heart. Here it is. That's in Philippians. You'd have to read it and find out. Philippians 2, Philippians 3. He's saying those things. I'm not making it up. You'll see what I'm saying there. And he says just this. Oh, that I may know him. I want to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of God in his very Son, Jesus Christ. The righteousness in which we live by the faith, that is the knowledge and the understanding of Christ who lives in us. But he goes on to say, that I be found in him. Find me someplace that I be found in him. Well, well, now, darling, back round the whole circle from where, right back to where I started. Where are you found this morning? Where are you this morning? If you're listening to it in real time, or whenever you're listening to this, whatever it is, whenever it is, then listen. Where are you now? Where are you found? And really, in reality, in true reality, more than what your eyes can see. I mean, I don't care what you touch and hit and feel and look at. I don't care how many chairs I can sit here and count. Okay. But am I found there in Christ? Well, if He is your life, you're found there in Him. Now, if He's just your religion, you may not be. You may not be in Him. Paul says, however, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And I don't know how many other 200 and some odd times being in Christ, in whom we have, in whom we find, in whom we are received. It's in Him. It's not like putting us in a glass bulb somewhere and hanging us up on a bungee cord in the corner of the room. That's not what I'm talking about. But we're in Him. My soul in union with Him. And these things that He said go together. You will know I am in my Father. Now, hon, immediately get a hold of that. Just say, Lord, open my eyes to that reality. Open my eyes to that reality. Because He goes on and He brings you and I into that kind of a reality. He's not making God out of me or out of you or out of anybody else. But He is speaking concerning the Spirit of God coming into our soul. And it's Christ. Christ is there in you by His very Spirit. You will know I am in my Father. Yes, because the Father and the Son are one Spirit. Read John 17. But here He's saying, you will know I am in my Father. That I'm not, you will understand that I'm not still here in a natural body so that I can go to the cross . You will know that I have come by my Spirit. Therefore, you will understand my union with the Father, that the Father and I are one. One what? One Spirit. One Spirit. He never says, I am the Father. The Father never says, I am the Son. The Son always says, my Father and I are one. The Father will say the same thing because the Father it is His good purpose that in the Son dwells the fullness and the glory of the Father. This is a work of God. It's not something that I can explain, but I can declare to you the truth of it as it is in the Scripture, but more than that, the truth of it as it is revealed, as it is made manifest in you by the very person of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. So our salvation is our union. Union we've been brought into by the grace of God. We didn't sit down and figure this out. The Father has desired such an expression of Himself, such an expression of His Son. The Father has desired a house wherein many, all who are one, many, but one body. Many, but one house. Many, but each having only and forever one Spirit of life. Did you know that, darling? You and I have the same Spirit of life if Christ dwells in me and dwells in you. We have one Spirit. Now we can be many souls, but we are many souls, but we have one Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, then, where are you now? If you are born again, if truly you have come to Christ, then whatever your location, you are there in Christ. You're not just there, but I want to say it again. I know I'm repeating the thing. Well, I'm going to repeat it some more. Because I'm trying to tell you, you cannot just be there in some kind of a religious belief. Because you can make too many excuses for that. Too many excuses for that. You can say, well, because it's not a bad place that I'm in. I'm what I'm here doing. It's not a bad place. And let's hope not. But that has nothing to do with salvation one way or the other. And we can bring that right into this building here, a quote-unquote church building. Okay, we're here. Wonderful. But if we're not here in Him, and hon, we may as well be someplace else doing something else. Why? Because it's not being in this building that makes us the church. I'd like to think, however, that we are gathered in this building because we understand we are the church. In or out of this building, we are the church. We're the church, which is what, Paul says, for you have given Christ to be head over all to the church. What church? To the church, which is His body. So, honey, there's only one body. Consequently, there's only one church. Now, in reality, that church could be meeting by twos, threes, or by 200, 300, or 2,000 or 3,000. The number is not what I'm talking about. But there is only one church. Now that church could be meeting all over the world, and no doubt it is. I may be talking to several groups in that church, but there's only one church. Why? Because there's only one body. Well, there's only one body. Why? Because there's only one Son living in it. Only one divine Spirit. Spirit of the Son. The Spirit who is also the Spirit of wisdom, the Spirit of knowledge, the Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of grace. Oh yes. And the Spirit of truth. But you see, hon, all of that is gathered up into who Christ is. And by him being there, by his Spirit, then everything that he is while being in your soul, while being in you. Yes. So the Father has brought us into a relationship with Himself through His Son. The Son has come again, come in newness. He told His disciples, I will come in newness, receive you unto myself. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come. I will come again. I will come anew. I will live in you. You will know in that day that I am in my Father, yes, and just so you are in me and I am in you. And it's all by the work of His Spirit. Hallelujah, hon. So our salvation, while we may be able to manifest that reality anywhere on the face of the earth, anywhere, manifest that reality anywhere, we can only find that reality in one. And that one is Christ. And that Christ liveth in me and in you, or we have no life at all. And he says that again. He says that in John 14 and 15 and 16. He says that. Please read it. Look at it. And then say, Lord God, open my eyes where I can understand what I'm reading here. And more than that, that I may see you. I'm reading. I just don't want to be reading about you, Lord. I want to be reading concerning the very one who lives in me right now. I know that this is true. I know you were there with them. But I know that you are here in me. And if you go on to John 17, you will find that Jesus says, I pray not just for these that you've given me, which was those 12 and those that followed him around. But he said, I pray also for those who may come, who may turn again, who may come to him, who may receive him based on the word of these. He's saying, I'm not just praying for them, I'm praying for those who hear what they say, for those who receive. That means me and you. That goes all the way to right now. And then just keeps on going. And see, that's the thrill in my heart, hon. Because of knowing He is in me. I mean, He you know, not a type or a shadow of Him. He, by His Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. Well, we have received the very Spirit of Christ. I will come. A comforter in another form. Not in the form of flesh, but in the form of Spirit. I will come. That's what he was talking about. Another comforter, not somebody other than himself. But he coming in Spirit, in truth, that he may dwell in our soul and show himself to be everything that salvation is. And show himself to be the place that he hath prepared for us to dwell in. Showing himself to be everything that we can read him teaching to his disciples right there in the Gospel of John, and particularly from chapter 14 on, because it was just a few days. It was getting very close to the time of its fulfillment by His death, burial, resurrection, by His ascension and coming again in Pentecost. That was all within 50 days here. And He had been with them for 3.5 years now. And now He's showing them things that are to come when? Not in another 2,000 years, as some seem to believe. No, no. Within the next 50 days, the day of Pentecost. So much so that He even sent them to that place and told them, don't leave it. Get there, stay there until I come. And He did, they did, and He is yet dwelling by His Spirit in all who will and have received Him. Hallelujah, hon. But salvation has never been anything other than Him. And if it's our salvation, not just the term salvation, then it is Him in you, and you in Him. It is exactly what He said He would show. You will know I'm in my Father. You will know that my Father and I are one Spirit. And you will know that you are in me, and that I am in you. Hun, you see, it's Christ in you that just gathers all of that. Everything that is said there, read it. Just gathers it up. It is Christ in you that gathers up another threefold thing. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. I am. I am. You know what makes way, truth, and the life one? I am. The great I am. The I am who is all. The I am who is in you. The I am who is Christ Himself. The, oh my, hon, the I am, the great I am. Yes, and if He says, I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and He dwells in you, then, hon, everything that He is part of who He is, but He is the fullness of all of those parts. Did you hear that? I am, He didn't say a way. No, He is. I am the way. The fullness of it. There isn't another one. I'm not giving you a choice on that. I am the way. I am the truth. There's not just a truth about me. I am the truth. About what? About anything and everything that exists. I am the truth. And I am the life. For I am He that liveth. And the truth is that I am He that liveth in you. And Paul found that glorious reality of truth in the very face and person of Jesus Christ. And then he said, yes, I live. I have life. But it's not me living again. Life, even resurrection life, is not me living again. It is Christ living in me. And that's what Paul said, because that's what Paul came to see as the truth of his union with the indwelling Son of God. And honey, it's the same for you and I. Use the same thing, it's the same thing for you and I. If we will just set our affection on things above, set our heart on seeing the person of our salvation. Hallelujah. It's not something you've got to do, honey. It's the condition of your heart. Do you want to know Him or not? If you do, it is the Father's good pleasure to say, "Here, this is my Son." Oh, yeah. I mean, it thrills my soul to even say that, what I just said. I feel like, you know, I get hooked up to an electric wire just to say it, because it's real. Christ is real in you, and the Father is real by His Spirit to reveal His Son and show to you, this is the person of your life. Oh my, oh, that's not the one you see in the regular mirror. No, hon. No. It's seeing the person who is our life, our abundant life, our eternal life. My, my. Blessed be the name of the living God. That's why I love that little song we wrote, and I just wanted to sing it everywhere we used to go. And we did. When I preached my son, Levi, God love his precious soul, and He does. When I preached his funeral, I told Janie to come up and get at the piano. I said, "I want to sing right now, Blessed be the name of the living God." And we did. And we still do. I knew that Levi belonged to Him. I was standing with him when he received Christ as his life and God as his Father. He was with me at a Bible school where I was teaching. In the Philippine Islands. He died in a motorcycle accident. But Christ was then and is now his life. And He's my life, and He's your life. If we have life, it's Christ. Because there is no life other than life Himself. Now, darling. See, I know what the world says and what, unfortunately, too many Christians say. They want to make Christianity a life. You know, living like a Christian. Oh, come on, sweetheart. Our life is Christ. Now, you can call yourself a Christian, me a Christian, you a Christian, fine. But the reality of it is Christ lives in me and Christ lives in you. And that's why we have life at all. That life is Christ. And if we could just make Christianity to be Christ, not just a bunch of stuff about Him and a bunch of doctrines, just wake up and say, yes, true Christianity is Christ in you. And I would just say, thank you, blessed be the name of the Lord. That is so true. All right. That's enough for this morning. The great I am is what we've been talking about. The I am that I am. My goodness. The I am that I am now lives in me. The more we see of Him, hon, the more we realize how great a salvation is that we have in Him. Thank you, folks. Thank you for being with us by way of the internet. Thank you for being with us in these sessions. May the Lord richly bless you. Thank you for helping us to put these kind of sessions out, not just on Sunday morning, but in the other outgoing ministries that we have here in the various ways that we reach out through the internet and reaching out through the Lord's body and around the world. So we just thank you. We're doing that now. That outreach is going on right now. And it may well find its way to some other country. We've seen that happen before. And we've seen some in those countries come to our website, find the recording of what I'm doing right now on our website, and there they are with us in this gospel one way or another. So thank you. Thank you for helping us do that. Thank you for your precious support, you who support CMI and the Bible Research Center, and doing so, you're supporting the outreach of ministries that are here and that have been placed here by the Lord Himself. So we appreciate it very much. And if there's anything that we can do for you, please let us know. And I'm saying again now to our brother who knows who he is, our brother in Australia, and got another email off to you, I believe it was yesterday, and I got that email to you, brother, because my daughter came up here and typed it out for me. I'm no good at typing. But it was good to get it to you. And if you're watching this, even in real time or whatever time, if you're watching this, then I wanted you to hear that. I'll be sending you a packet very soon with some printed matter in it and also with some CDs in it concerning something that I want to talk with you about. Concerning this salvation, some of the questions that you ask in your email, I'd like to answer those even with the CDs. So I'm going to send you another packet of stuff, and you'll know that when it gets there. But if you hear this, you'll know that at least that it's coming. So the Lord bless you. Folks, thank you for being with us. And remember our Bible conference in June. That's the last week of June, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. you who are coming and that think that you need help with places to stay, then you need to get a hold of us so that we can make sure that you have a place to stay and that you are that it's ready for you. So we're looking forward to all of you in that week of the last, very last week of June is the week of our conference. If you have any questions, well, give me a phone call. You can send an email, you can write me a letter, but if you can, you can give me a phone call as well. I'd love to hear from you. Any questions, let me know. The Lord bless. Amen. Amen.